Good morning. Welcome into the Blitz. It's Friday here with you for the next couple of hours. I'm Charlie Collier. To my left, Matthew Gill. Welcome into the Blitz here on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. It is Super Regional weekend the way it is, well, almost over. Tennessee obviously starting on a Saturday, but we've made it to another weekend. Another beautiful, beautiful summer weekend here in Knoxville. Wish there was some baseball being played here, but nonetheless, a great weekend altogether.
Yeah, we'll watch it from afar. We'll throw on the squeeze play. I know that gets a lot of rotation on your TV, so
I'm jacked for squeeze play.
Yeah, we're gonna make
do. I didn't get enough of it last weekend. Just obviously being in Clemson,
and bouncing
around bars and things, but very pumped to get some squeeze play in this weekend. Unfortunately, I mean, today not the best squeeze play day. You know, you really don't have a ton of overlap. Four games today. But then tomorrow is a great day for it. So today starts at noon, Duke and Virginia. You jump into 5 o'clock TCU Indiana State, and then that's when you get them going off an hour apart. So, you know, 6 o'clock we get Florida South Carolina. Pardon me, I said an hour apart. 8 o'clock is Oral Roberts Oregon. So maybe around like 8:30, you know, we can catch the first little bit of Oral Roberts Oregon. And then also the end of those other two games. I don't know if they'll do squeeze play for that or not, to be quite honest. But
I would guess not.
Tomorrow is where it all gets going.
I'm looking up the UVA line right now. Just maybe get a little something down on noon game.
I think they're -155, if I'm not mistaken.
235. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I feel like I got them earlier in the week at a lower price.
-1.5, though.
The sports book that I'm stuck having to use, I'm only able to get verified on one sports book, and it's not
because you're too good.
It's not our favorite sports book here at the station. It's one of the competitors, and it's the only one I'm able to use, and I hate it.
Yeah, well, it's because you're too good, and other sports books
don't think I'm a real person. All the other sports
because your ID or something.
I don't know what it is, but I can't get verified on any of them, so I'm just stuck on this one bad sports book.
Yeah.
And the way that they price college baseball and what they offer for college baseball is terrible compared to the other sports books.
Well, if you're getting better than -200, though,
I am getting better than -200.
Yeah,
all the other sports books you can bet on, like how many games they'll go.
Series and prices, like, yeah, stuff like that. A little more in depth, a little more options.
Yeah, I can only bet on money lines for the games on this one. No totals, no run lines, no super regional winner lines, no like amount of game lines. Couldn't bet on any of the regional winners last week.
Yeah.
Which I got my Oral Roberts and Dallas Baptist.
Nice. Oh yeah. Wonder.
Told you I was gonna.
I forgot about
I was locked in on that one.
I forgot about our draft too. I wonder who's got more teams still alive. While I'm looking at that, speaking of gambling, we definitely cursed the Las Vegas Aces last night, who got smoked.
just some girl absolutely smacked.
Some girl I'd never heard of dropped 41 for the Sun. And that was talking WNBA. Feels like we did our due diligence on that one. So I don't even remember who all we drafted. I know I had UVA and Florida. That's two winners for sure. Did you have TCU? I had TCU. I don't remember. I had Wake still alive for sure.
I could probably find it. You had Wake Forest alive.
Yeah.
Campbell.
Dead.
Tennessee and Virginia and Florida all alive.
Yeah. Okay, not bad.
I have, A&M.
Mm-hmm.
That went poorly. Arkansas,
yeah,
that
I believe
went
you
even
had,
worse.
I was about to say, I believe you have Arkansas.
And then I have LSU and Duke still alive. And Vandy out.
Got it. Okay. Still a long way to go. I believe the goal was to get to Omaha, so not dead yet by any means in that. Got anything fun going on this weekend? Oh, actually, wait. How's Sam Morril? That was last night, right? Or did you say it's tonight?
That was last night.
Yeah, how was that?
Last night, went to Sam Morril. Very good.
Yeah?
Very, very, very good. The opener was pretty solid. We got there a little bit late.
Who's that anyway? No.
I I didn't catch the opener's name.
Okay.
Because I'm a big openers guy.
Yeah.
It's how you just find
the
things
next
you like.
Yeah, the new person.
But
next man up.
It was me and my buddy and these two girls. So we went out to dinner and got drinks and everything before, and we rolled in probably about 10 minutes into the opener set.
Got it. Honestly, that's perfect timing.
Yeah, we sat in the back row, like the last row of the Bijou Theater too. It was interesting.
And the last time I went to the Bijou, I was in college. I took a jazz music class, and we were required to go to a concert. That was the last time I was there, and it was not fun. Not as fun as St. Merle, I'll tell you that.
I've never been to the Bijou until last night. It was pretty cool. I had a good time, but it was funny, too. The two girls we took had no prior knowledge of who Sam Morrell was.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was funny, because one of them was definitely digging it, and one of them was, like, a little not quite loving everything.
Yeah.
A couple maybe were a little too much for her. But we were talking at a dinner before, where it's like, hey, by the way, do you guys have any kind of, like, frame of reference as to who Sam Morrell is?
Yeah.
Like, No, not really, no. We don't know who he is. I was like, well, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but you guys should probably just know ahead of time. Yes, he is going to say some horrible things.
Yeah.
Like,
which you love.
I'm all for that. But right. He's going to say some awful things. So just, you know, be aware. But it went well. It was good. Very good. We tried to guess what bar he would go to after.
Yeah.
We were unsuccessful.
Gotcha.
Maybe he just didn't go out for all we know, but
what did you get to eat beforehand?
In the quesadilla.
Nice. It's a good call. Yeah, because I feel like for a comedy show, you don't want something that's going to put you to sleep. Like,
my buddy ate pasta.
Yeah, no,
like
bad
a big
call.
Pasta. I was like, "What are you doing, dude?"
Yeah, bad call.
I
would have fell asleep.
And yeah. It was all I needed.
Yeah, no, that's the perfect comedy show fuel. I feel like
quesadilla and bourbon, baby.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And then we ended up going out to the bars afterwards, too, because we were looking for Sam Morrell and hung out for a while.
Yeah. Good what time. Would you have said if you did find him?
Probably nothing.
Right.
Probably would have been like, look, he's there. Saw him earlier.
Yeah, it would have been my 49 Winchester thing. You're just like, dude, that.
Should we say something?
Yeah, you're so awesome.
You know, he doesn't want to talk to us.
Yeah, traveling around the country doing comedy, dude, that's so sick.
Maybe
that's,
all
that's all I would have had.
Would you? Yeah, exactly. There's nothing I would have
said. Yeah, no, you just want to be in the same spot.
I don't, yeah. In my head, I would be like, oh, yeah, dude, I just like buy him a drink. And then all of a sudden, like, he'd be on the radio show today and we'd just be best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Best friends forever. You end up being his opener.
But then every time I see anyone, even like mildly famous, it's like, don't even look at them.
Dude, I have.
You are rude if you look at them. They want to live a normal life.
I have such an embarrassing one for that. So in 2016, when we played Georgia there, the Juwan Jennings catch at the end of the game, right afterwards we went out to you know, in Athens, and Jacob Eason was out there, and I just remember thinking, what a loser that he's out at the bars after that devastating loss. And I was like, dude, I'm a loser. he's a starting quarterback in the Georgia Bulldogs.
I do find that weird, though. I think if I was a starting quarterback.
If I was a Georgia fan, I would be upset about it for sure. But yeah.
I mean, if I were a Georgia fan, I would be so upset I wouldn't be able to go out, let alone a Georgia football player, let alone the starting quarterback.
No, but I remember being like, oh, we're not supposed to be in this bar because the starting quarterback of Georgia is here, feeling like like I wasn't worthy to be in that situation. And then I remember going back 2 years later when we played there again and being like, oh, this is the worst bar actually in town.
I think that I don't know. I feel so guilty about like acknowledging a celebrity in public.
Yeah.
I want them to just be.
It's a hard thing to nail.
Like, you know, just do their thing.
Right.
I think there's a very short list of celebrities that I would actually like still say something to.
Oh, I got another. Yeah.
Maybe like Jimmy Buffett.
When we played in
I'd love to be Jimmy Buffett.
When we played in the preseason tournament in Brooklyn a couple years ago. It was us, Kansas. This was probably like 2018. You remember the tournament I'm talking about?
Was that when we had Azubuike in it too?
Yeah. Anyway, it was in Barclays Center. Anyways, in Louisville. Or no, it was Marquette. Wherever Bill Murray's son was coaching at the time, I can't remember
Xavier?
If he had moved. Xavier, maybe.
It's not his son, though. I think he's just a big fan of that guy.
No. Not the head coach. His son is an assistant coach on that guy's staff. Whatever the case may be, his son is a college basketball coach in some capacity. Assistant, But anyways, Bill Murray was in our section, and I remember he walked by us, and I was, like, pointing him out to, like, my entire family, like, that's Bill Murray. And everybody was like, yeah, go say what's up to him. I was like, are you out of your mind? I'm not going to say what's up to Bill Murray.
No,
like, yeah. He's just a crazy person. He's crazy famous. I would have to be a crazy person to be like, hey, big fan. He's trying to watch his kid's team. It's like, yeah, not the time or the place. But I'm sure he would have been fine with it. You know, he probably gets it all the time. Most celebrities.
Yeah, no, I just don't want to, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't want to be that guy, I guess. It's like a, it's a mental thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's intimidating.
Like, I Seinfeld was just in front of me the other month in Tropical Smoothie, just like,
Jerry?
In Knoxville. Yeah, Jerry. In Knoxville, just.
That can't be right.
There's no.
I swear.
Okay.
I was just in Tropical Smoothie at like 3:30 on a Wednesday.
Listen, I believe and you. I'm just saying that's.
Directly in front of me. I was just like, oh, that's. It's Jerry Seinfeld. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Strip?
On the strip, yeah.
Yeah, that is. That's wild. Maybe we could. I don't know. Are his kids college age? Like, would they be in town for like a swim meet or
I
something?
I think he might have had a show here, maybe.
Okay. That's possible. Yeah.
Maybe it was longer than a couple of months then. I don't know. But yeah, I thought.
That's a big one. Definitely.
I remember, like, texting my buddies after. Oh, it's like Seinfeld's just. Jerry Seinfeld standing in front of me at Tropical Smoothie, and they were like, oh, say hi, get a picture. I was like, nah,
no. No, absolutely.
I think he just wants to get his smoothie in peace.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely imagine him being a huge smoothie guy, too.
I mean, smoothies are great.
Yeah, I mean, who isn't?
I could destroy a smoothie right now.
Yeah.
Nice little strawberry gladiator scoop of peanut butter.
I'm a big mango guy.
I want
mango to be the basis of all smoothies for me.
I love a good mango. Maybe we should do a fruit draft at some point.
I actually, yeah, had that in my list the next time you asked me if had any suggestions. Let me ask you something. What's your stance on, this is a total shift of gears, do you sleep with the TV on?
No.
Really?
It's bad for you.
That's what everybody says.
Sometimes I fall asleep watching TV, mm-hmm. but I don't sleep
on accident.
The TV on.
Yeah, you don't plan on it every night.
What I do might be worse.
Which is?
I have a Pandora station.
Yeah.
That I've been curating now for about 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, if it's Pandora, that came out forever
ago.
Yeah, so.
I mean, for a very, very long time.
I don't even
time.
Know of anybody that still uses Pandora, by the way. You're the first one I met since 2012, so
I'm still using it. I'm probably one of their biggest users because I use it about 8 hours a day.
Right.
Because every night when I go to sleep, I put on this station and it's stand-up comedy.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't hate that then.
And I sleep every night listening to stand-up comedy in my sleep.
Yeah. Makes you funnier.
Sometimes when you're dreaming, you can hear it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It influences your dreams for sure.
Like sometimes I'll dream that I'm at a comedy show and I'm just listening to comedy and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that rules.
I think I've heard everything though.
Yeah, you're at kind of the bottom.
Like I just don't know if there's anything I haven't heard.
Yeah. Who I meant to ask you this yesterday when we were talking about Sam Morril. Who are some of your favorite comics? Let's just do top three or four if you need it.
Oh gosh, I don't even know. John Mulaney, Hannibal Buress, Daniel Tosh. Sam Morril, Nate Bargatze, Dan Soder,
yeah,
Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer,
okay,
Chad Cummings. I mean, Chad Daniels and Dan Cummings.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big
Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, I think Shane Gillis is the funniest person in the world right now. So.
Big Shane Gillis guy.
Yeah, I mean, Shane's
You want a list of all the comedians on this station?
Sure. Yeah.
Jeff Tate, Pete Davidson, Shane Gillis, Daniel Sloss, Greg Giraldo, Andrew Schultz, Chris Redd, Cat Williams, TJ Miller, K. Trevor Wilson, Sam Morril, Chris D'Elia. I actually clicked him off when he did bad things.
Yeah.
Unclicked. Noreed Davis, Dan Soder, Nate Bargatze, Bert Kreischer, Chad Daniels, Tom Segura, Theo Vaughn, Dan Cummins,
good.
Steve Renazzi, Kamal Nwanji,
mm-hmm.
Ron White, Dimitri Martin, Mitch Hedberg, Dane Cook, Donald Glover, John Mulaney, Hannibal Buress, Daniel Tosh, and Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, Mulaney's never really done it for me. I love the early Hannibal stuff. But yeah, for me, it's Gillis, it's Burr. I still love all of the Chappelle stuff, start to finish. Trying to think, who else had a really good special recently that I loved? I don't know. I love Segura, too. Kreischer doesn't really do it for me anymore.
He's just all right to me. He's not, like, top five, top ten or anything.
Yeah. Anyways, I bring up the Sleeping with the TV On thing because I just have, you know, I have a couple shows that I'll watch to go to sleep. Right now I'm in a King of the Hill phase. Going to bed, it's an easy thing to fall asleep to. The Office obviously gets tons of run as people's sleep show. Rick and Morty at times I'll throw on as mine. The key to a great sleep show is knowing what the words are, so you don't really have to listen to it. Like, if you don't know what's coming, it kind of keeps you awake because you're still trying to find out new information. But I have some really terrible ones that are my sleep comfort show that I can't really defend. A couple of those being Criminal Minds.
Love Criminal Minds.
Yes, excellent. But if you take the 20,000 foot view, it's a serial killer show. It's not necessarily something that you want to be falling asleep to.
I think that's a great bedtime show.
It is good if you, yeah, it's good. I love it. Puts me right to bed. Another one being the Joker movie. For some reason, like for 2 months, I just would fall asleep to the Joker movie.
Now that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, no, well, wait till you hear the third one, which is something that's gotten a ton of run for me. Not lately, but just when I think about the fact that I had a huge phase of doing this, it's like that's an insane thing to fall asleep to, which is the Ted Bundy tapes documentary. And
yeah,
I recognize how insane that is to be the thing that puts you to sleep.
And you just kept watching it over and over,
over and over, dude.
Are you scared that's going to infiltrate your brain and make you a weird guy?
Well, I have terrible nightmares for sure. And this is part of the problem is I watch insane stuff to go to bed to. But all I'm going to say about it is, like, I get it. I get why he fooled a couple women. Charming guy, soothing voice.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, I get why you did it, you know.
No, they were
pretty hot.
No, I'm just saying that if somebody can put you to sleep by just talking to you, then I get
so
how you might
you
get
would have
in the car.
So you're saying you would have been fooled by Ted Bundy
if I was a woman in the 70s.
A co-ed in Washington.
Yeah.
Back then? Okay.
I get it. And, like, you know, the Dahmer stuff, tough hang. I get it. He would be a tough guy to hang around with. Bundy, I get why he's the GOAT. I get why he put up so many numbers.
It's a weird way to put it.
No, I'm just kidding around about that.
Yeah, I mean,
but listen.
Well, no, I mean, we did, like, obsess over him for...
It's wild, the obsession about...
We've made at least 5 documentaries and movies and TV shows about him.
Yeah, and I recognize the serial killer
thing.
Let's
find the hottest people possible and make them, like, really likable, and then, like, also they're Ted Bundy.
Yeah, let's make Zac Efron and
Zac Efron play his most likable role yet, but, oh, wait, surprise, it's Ted Bundy.
What's the guy that played Dahmer from
American
Horror Story? The blonde kid, Evan Peters. Yeah, let's make those two the two worst people of all time.
I don't know if I'd want to play that role.
No, but I mean, obviously, tons of internet buzz about both of those shows when they came out, or slash movies, awards.
Efron as Bundy, dude, he did a great job. Still a weird role, like, pairing for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hard to reconcile.
I'm back, by the way.
Dahmer, tough hang. Back as in what?
Back on Twitter. I had a weird morning. So I woke up. And I tried to hop on Twitter, and it wouldn't log in.
Okay. That's always annoying.
So then I went and checked my email, and it was like, new login on your Mac on Safari. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Log in at 5:10 a.m. in Los Angeles, California. Then I got another email that said your Twitter password has been changed. So someone has got into my account, I guess.
Terrifying. I had to go to
Twitter support and get it fixed and get my account back and change all my passwords.
I'm surprised they got it back to you so quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm back though, so we're good.
I've had somebody
change all my passwords up, but I had to update, like, this is part of getting it back, my Twitter.
Yes. They heard you talk about how you hadn't updated it on this show. And
I bragged
like, oh,
about
we're
it
actually,
earlier this week.
We're actually going to make him do that.
I up until this morning, I have been living a life of old Twitter still, where I didn't have this weird
simpler time
for you category at the top. And now I have it, and I don't want it. I want it to go away.
Yeah, you'll get used to it.
I can just theoretically, I can just keep it on this following tab, right? And it just stays like normal Twitter.
Eventually, you're gonna close the app, right? And then it defaults back to For You, unless you can change that.
Close the app, it goes back to For You.
Mine does. There may be a way to change that I don't know about.
Is this gonna show me people I don't follow?
Yes, that is the whole point.
So it's kind of like, they just took the TikTok deal 100%. Where they show you stuff they think you'll like.
Yes,
but correct. It's Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your algorithm.
I've heard my friends complain that it just shows them awful things.
I don't know.
I've heard a lot of people complain about that.
It's annoying because it was annoying to me at first. Now I'll spend 5 to 10 minutes on it. It's the thing of, like, if you don't follow a ton of people, like, eventually your Twitter feed does get stale. So, especially when there's, like, a big event, like, okay, so let's go back to the PGA LIV merger. Like, that day on Twitter, there wasn't a ton of information, so there weren't, like, a ton of unique takes from people that I follow specifically. Like, it kind of did get repetitive and stuff like that. So the For You page does kind of break that up if you don't follow, 13,000 people, which most of us don't because it's annoying.
Okay.
So there's good and bad with it, I guess. So I think you'll grow to love it. I also went through a similar battle, though, with my Venmo. Somebody knows my ID or whatever. Luckily, I have two-factor authentication for it, but somebody continues to try to get into my Venmo, and that's a dangerous game. Much more so than Twitter.
Yeah, no, my Spotify was just continuously compromised to the point where I gave up and just started making playlists for them.
Yeah, you just decide to share it.
Yeah, I just embrace it. We're all just going to listen to music together, I guess.
Yeah.
Big day today. We got a new Zach Greinke article on The Athletic.
Ooh.
Big day.
Can't wait to see what that
I don't know
entails.
If you've ever read any of the past ones.
No, I haven't.
They're always the best.
Because he's a weirdo?
My favorite thing that The Athletic does are like all the oral history things that they do. Zach Greinke, I think, has three of them or four of them, and they're four of the most interesting things I've ever read. He is an incredibly interesting person. They're right up there. I don't know if you've ever the Clay Thompson one, also very, very good. But we got a new one. 10 stories that explain why Zach Greinke is still effective at age 39. I can't wait to go read this. The one on the blurb right here is talking about how Joey Votto, he threw him three hanging sliders, knowing that Joey Votto recognized spin so well that he would pick up those pitches and expect him to break out of the zone.
Mm.
Instead, he just hung three straight sliders for strikes. I love Zach Greinke, dude. He's the man. But here, we'll catch a break here. Got a lot to get into today. We'll have Logan Quinton joining us in hour two to break down the Hattiesburg Super Regional as well as just the weekend of Super Regionals. A lot of college baseball talk on store for you today. But we'll start with NBA Finals Game 4. That's coming up next right here on The Blitz. Wait, so Rebecca Black is from Chicago?
I believe so. Yeah, he was from I was just telling Charlie. Yeah, I know a guy that went to high school with Rebecca Black and she just got bullied mercilessly.
But it's a banger.
Yeah. Well,
it's a certified certified classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it stood the test of time without a doubt.
So she was in high school when she put that out.
I believe so, or shortly thereafter, their summer going into college, something like that. I can't remember how the story goes. But yeah, right outside Chicago. Have you ever seen the music video?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's insane. I think her parents just spent a ton of money.
I don't think she blinks a lot in that music video, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, speaking of, you're wearing a Tyler Childers hat. Famously non-blinker that we covered.
Well, he used to blink and then he got sober.
Yeah, exactly.
Which usually goes the other way around. You don't start blinking until you sober up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He's playing the game different than us. Anyway, NBA Finals Game 4 tonight.
Yes, sir.
And say this, it feels like the Heat better win tonight or it's going to be over.
Or it's over, yeah.
To me, tonight's game feels like the difference in this series wrapping up in five games or potentially getting all the way to seven.
Right.
It's do or die time for the Heat. You know, the back's against the wall. And, you know, on one hand, I was going to say I feel like they've been decent in this spot this year, but or in this playoffs, but they haven't really been in this spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Game six, but like game seven was really, I think, the first time in this entire postseason they've had their backs against the wall outside of that Bulls game in the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I guess on another hand, you know, if you're the eighth seed making a run all the NBA finals, your back's kind of permanently against the wall.
Yeah.
But
going on the road every series.
You know, the Heat have been up in every series, and now they're in kind of an unfamiliar spot coming off of a bad game here in Game 4 now. You have to get this thing back even before you go back to Denver.
I think they will, too, by the way.
Yeah?
I said yesterday, I think this is 2-2 this weekend, and we sit on it in Denver. It's kind of the cousin of the Tyler Hero take we had yesterday, though, like, you know, saying that Tyler Hero has to either play tonight or not play the rest of the series. I kind of feel that I'm with you. You just said it. If Denver wins tonight, then it's over in five. And if Miami wins tonight, then it's going to game seven. I definitely agree with you there. Like it's kind of the domino effect. Choose your own adventure of how the series is going to go. I think tonight is the big Jimmy Butler game. I think he looks around and says, all right, some of the role guys that we've counted on have not shown up in the same way as they did in the conference finals. You guys follow me. I'm going to put you on my back. I also think this is a huge Bam defensive game, and from a rebounding perspective, I think he's going to be super effective. And I think Jimmy, like, we're going to be going into halftime being like, oh, he's going to have 40 tonight. I think it's that kind of Jimmy game.
So that's how you think the Heat get this done then? You think it's a big Jimmy game?
It has to be.
A big Bam game?
Well, I don't know that Bam necessarily contributes a ton of scoring. Like, he had, what did he have in game three? He had 24 or something like that?
I think he's averaging around 23 a game in the finals.
I would expect that to kind of be right in there. But, I think he could have, like, a 20 and 15, and that is enough out of Bam. And I think that Jimmy kind of has to carry the major scoring load, which we have not seen since early in that Boston series, his ability to kind of, you know, shoulder their offensive stuff. And a big problem has been the free throw numbers. He's just not drawing contact the same way that he had been, you know, not only during this playoff run, but really all season. And it's kind of Jimmy's secret weapon is his ability to get guys in the air.
Right. I mean, he's just so crafty with his ability to get guys to elevate and to work around guys. I do think you need Jimmy to step up. Ultimately, if you want an NBA Finals, you need Jimmy to be Jimmy. But I think if the Heat are to win this game tonight, it's because the role players step back up.
Okay.
You know, I think it's because guys like Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson and Max Strus get loose and get hot. That's what Miami needs more than anything. Because, again, first time this postseason, Miami's behind in a series.
Right.
First time this postseason they've been behind at home. You know, they ran through the Eastern Conference. And you know, now that you're back against the wall, first time this postseason, your role players haven't shown up. That's happened a couple of times in the finals now. It's an adverse situation for Miami, and I think that's kind of where they thrive. I really think Gabe Vincent will bounce back. I think
he had foul trouble early, too.
Yeah, I think he had some tough, tough fouls that went against him. I mean, there was one that Michael Porter Jr. wasn't even looking up. He was staring at the ground, like trying to chase down a ball that had hit off of his elbow and was getting away from him, and just kind of mildly, like, bumped into Gabe Vincent, who was out of the way, and Gabe Vincent picked up his third foul and had to go sit down.
You know, right.
Gabe Vincent's second foul. Pretty questionable, pretty touchy, which, again, I think, you know, this is not some big complaint about officiating. I think the officiating in the series has been great. the fact that it hasn't really been a storyline all that much. You know, the two free throws thing was talked about, but I think the officiating's been really good. I just think, you know, bad calls are still part of the game, and unfortunately it got Gabe Vincent last game. And that completely took him out of rhythm. So you get Gabe Vincent hopefully out of foul trouble tonight and you know, playing his usual minutes. And I expect him to bounce back. But when Gabe Vincent is in rhythm, I mean, he is your facilitator. You know, he does run that offense sometimes from time to time. And if you get him going, I think you can really work, you know, hopefully one of Strus or Duncan Robinson off of him. You know, hopefully Caleb Martin, you know, it helps just with the general spacing. Caleb Martin gets going tonight. I don't know. I think Miami is going to find it. And I don't know exactly what it is, but they've found it the entirety of the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you talk about the Vincent stuff. And whenever you are like a perimeter scorer, and your shooting is a huge part of like what you do for a team, like that is what your role is on a team, and you get in foul trouble, it's really hard to like continue your rhythm and like, you know, not have that disrupted by, you know, elongated breaks on the bench. Another thing, I mean, you flip it to the other side though, you talk about all the role guys on Miami. Some of these role guys for Denver have really struggled, man. KCP has not been great. We all know Porter is getting a shorter and shorter leash, and you know that may continue tonight. I would be shocked if Christian Brown can replicate his Game 3 performance. I would say it's almost guaranteed that he won't. Even Bruce Brown, who I love as like a high IQ guy, you know, he's not going to give you the 15 points, you know, and 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, that's not really his game. He's more of a lot of dirty work, a lot of, you know, he's a good connective piece, but he's not going to be somebody who's going to flip a finals game for you. So when I look at Denver, we've talked about it multiple times, but the stars are the ones you have to rely on the road. I just don't know how Jokic and Murray follow up what they did in Game 3 and still have gas in the tank for this Game 4 on the road. So for all those reasons, I'm with you. I think Miami has a really good shot to even this thing up tonight, but I still would pick Denver in the series, even if, you know, we go back to Denver and it's a 3-game series. I still like Denver's chances with 2 of those 3 games at home.
I think we'll know early, too, how this game's going to go.
Yeah.
To some extent. If Miami starts getting out-rebounded the way they did in Game 3, if Miami starts getting abused in the paint the way they did in Game 3, then it's going to be a long night again. I mean, I think, you got out-rebounded in Game 4. It was... Let me pull it up here. Pardon me.
I got you. It looks like 58-33.
Yeah. It was 45-23 in the defensive rebounding category. We all know, I mean, it was a tough matchup for Miami from the get-go. You know, they're just not as big as Denver at every single position. Denver just has that size advantage, and they actually haven't shot the three at a super high percentage this entire series. They've just been really, really, really good in the paint, in the restricted arc, around the rim. I don't know how much the Heat are going to slow them down in that regard, but I do know that they're going to have to rebound better, and I expect them to. I think for the first time this playoffs, we saw the Heat get out-hustled a little bit, get outplayed. Some of the hustle plays Denver was making, they beat them some 50-50 balls. They were a little bit tougher than Miami in Game 3, and it was kind of the opposite in Game 2. It was Denver that was having a players meeting and calling out their own energy levels after Game 2, but after Game 3, I think it's Miami that has to have that same, you know, gut check conversation. But I think we'll know early based on how Miami is able to compete or, you know, I guess not compete in the paint. They have to rebound. Jimmy and Bam, encouraging in Game 3 that they got more looks in the paint than they've had in quite a while. Need to be more efficient with them.
Mm.
You know, need to be still better finishing in the paint. But, you know, I think the Heat are going to have an answer tonight for some of the size, some of the physicality, and I think you're going to see a high energy level from the Heat. To me, it still just comes down to those role players.
Have we heard anything definitive either way on Tyler Hero?
I think he's trending towards not playing from what I've
seen. I would assume that's the case, but...
I'm surprised. I mean, I sat here a couple of days ago and I said I expected Tyler Hero to play. There was a report I saw yesterday that came out that the expectation that Tyler Hero will return is a bit overstated and that he has more hurdles to clear than people, you know, people have let on.
Yeah, which is almost always the case, by the way. We all, you know, especially as fans, you want your guys to get back as soon as possible. And I think we've seen, and this is kind of a part of the load management stuff, is like the injury recovery, you know, the process has been elongated to where, you know, the Grizzlies went through this with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane at one point this season as well. Is like the recovery time, these teams look at this as such a long-term asset, you know, an investment, that it's not worth it for them to risk further injury. Now, the counter to that is this is the NBA Finals. Like, push it, man. Like, get out there, contribute to your team that is struggling, especially at what you're really good at. Like, you need to push it. But, I mean, over and over again this season, we've seen teams err on the side of caution more so than push guys along, and I think that's kind of the norm now. So I am not shocked to see that they're going to hold him out of this game as well. You obviously get the extra day of travel, you know, before Game 5 also. So maybe it makes it more likely that he plays in Denver. But, again, I say play him tonight or not at all the rest of the series.
I do think it would be a weird spot, a tough spot to come back on the road in Denver. You know, I don't.
Especially
think
if you're down 3-1.
Right, I don't think that's the best place to bring Tyler Hero back. He's been going through some full contact workouts. You know, I don't consider myself a hand expert by any means.
No.
But I feel like if he's been going through full contact workouts since before Game 3, we've seen videos of him dribbling, shooting, going between the legs, driving, dunking. I'm not exactly sure what the hurdle is still in the way for him to be cleared. You know, I can't make a lot of sense of it, but yeah, trending towards not playing tonight, and I don't know if he plays this series. I don't think I necessarily want to inject him into this series, depending on what happens tonight.
Getting worried about his bucket hat inventory, though. He's got to be getting thin. You know, you like what he's doing for the bucket hat, bringing it back?
The one that he wore that was pink and light blue, I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to the Miami.
Not a huge fan of a lot of what he's been wearing. I'm not a big Tyler Hero guy, really.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be like your kind of guy. I don't think you guys would like love hanging out together on South Beach.
We would not. Yeah, I don't think we'd have a lot in common. I don't think we'd really get along too well.
Jack Harlow fans? You like Jack Harlow?
Not a Jack Harlow guy.
Okay, never mind then.
You a Jack Harlow guy?
No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any feelings of disdain towards Jack Harlow.
Just not for you.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah, it doesn't fire you.
Know, I've heard, every once in a while.
I assumed because you liked Lil Dicky that you would also like Jack Harlow, and that was wrong of me.
No,
I shouldn't
have
said that.
Every once in a while I hear like a Jack Harlow verse, and I think, all right, this isn't the worst thing I've ever heard.
Right.
So maybe some of the older stuff.
Yeah, again,
I like that What's Poppin'.
Yeah, that song rules. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty indifferent to him. I would never, like, you know, hey Siri, play Jack Harlow Radio. That's probably not something I'm going to be saying anytime soon.
I don't think anyone says, hey Siri, play Jack Harlow Radio.
Yeah. Do you ever use Siri to play music?
No, I don't use Siri ever. Yeah. I also don't play, like, radios necessarily, I don't think.
You just got done saying talking about
yeah,
yours.
I mean, I play my Pandora comedy, but, you know, that's different. I am worried that Jack Harlow ruined Whiteman Can't Jump.
I'm not going to watch that, by the way.
Because the first one was a legendary movie.
Have you watched the Jack Harlow?
I expected the second one to be good. I was excited. I was like, oh, cool, we're getting another one. And then all of a sudden I saw that it's a Hulu release. And I was like,
right.
Oh, that can't be great.
No, it's bad.
And then I saw the trailers and I was like, oh, this looks like garbage.
Yeah.
This looks like garbage movie making. Like, it has the same vibe as like Wiz Khalifa's High School to me.
Mac and Devin Go to High School, that one?
No, like the one, or is it Snoop Dogg that's High School?
Yeah. Mac and Devin Go to High School, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Another bad sequel coming out. Do you remember The Haunted Mansion? You ever see that movie when you were a kid?
Maybe.
Yeah. There's a new one coming out, and it looks awful. And I loved The Haunted Mansion when I was a kid.
All right. Well, Jack Harlow. I feel like I had one more thought about Jack Harlow, but...
Please. I like that he wears New Balance.
I think it's gone. I don't think I have any Jack Harlow thoughts left.
I don't even know if him and Tyler Hero are really that tight anymore, because Jack Harlow showed up to the Boston series wearing Boston stuff, so... What does that tell you?
I don't know. I'm hoping that Tyler Hero gets traded.
Yeah. I'm
hoping that the Miami Heat are making a move for Damian Lillard in the offseason, yes. And I hope that Tyler Hero is a part of it.
Yeah, and if I'm Portland, like, I would not be against that at all. If you have, you know,
four... What do you think? Like, Tyler Hero, right?
Yeah.
And then either, like, Kyle Lowry or Duncan Robinson.
Right.
And then...
You probably need Duncan for the contract.
18th pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 to 3 more future firsts.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Portland, you think the firsts sound good to you. But if I'm thinking about it, like, Miami is just consistently good. If you give up Dame, they're going to be good still. Like, even once... Dame, Jimmy, Bam are gone, and you still are holding these Heat picks. Like, they always have the ability to bring in new guys in free agency. You know what I mean? Like, who's to say they don't have SGA in 4 years or whenever his contract is up? You know what I mean? Like, Miami will always be competitive. And so, like, their first rounders don't do a ton for me. If I'm Portland, I look at it as, all right, now I have Anthony Simons, Tyler Hero, Shaden Sharp, most likely Scoot Henderson with the 3rd pick. I have 4 really good guards, and you hope that 3 of the 4 of them, like, hit and can be, hopefully, like, championship guys for you down the road. And I just think the more of those guys you have, like, the better your chances that one of them is going to pop. My worry would be that, like, Tyler Hero is not a guy that I really want to be, like, mentoring my young guards coming in. You know what I mean? And he's definitely a guy that's not going to, like, share the ball with them a ton. Like, if Tyler Hero is traded for Damian Lillard, Tyler Hero now thinks Portland is his city in the same way that Dame did, you know? Like, Tyler Hero needs to go to San Antonio or Houston, Charlotte even. Like, he needs to go somewhere where, like, he's allowed to think he's the guy, but there's not, like, major ramifications for him thinking that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm starting to get the vibe that there's going to be some strong Miami and Lillard ties. Strong Miami and Lillard.
I hope so. It'd be fun.
I don't know if it'll end up getting done, but I think we'll get pretty close.
I would like that. I would like that for you. I think that would be a really fun team, because obviously they've been on an incredible shooting run throughout these playoffs, but that's not, like, what this team is built to do, and Dame gives you that.
All right, catch a break here. We'll switch gears on the other side to wrap up hour one. Stay with us on the Blitz. Wrapping up hour one here. We'll talk to Logan Quinton hour two. To really break down the Hattiesburg Super Regional and get into some of these other Super Regionals. But, man, are just over 24 hours, 28 hours just about. I'm trying to be a math guy here. Yeah, about 28 hours until first pitch, presumably Andrew Lindsay and Tanner Hall. Two really strong arms going at it. Tanner Hall, one of the best pitchers in the country. He did throw 123 pitches last Friday and then make another start on Monday. So I guess I wouldn't be entirely shocked if we see him get bumped back to game two. I haven't seen any official announcement of starters yet. But going into this series, where are you kind of at, you know, feelings wise when it comes to this Hattiesburg Super Regional?
I mean, my brain tells me it's all eyes to Omaha. Let's run through, you know, Hattiesburg, let's take care of business. But my gut is really worried about this retiring coach energy.
Retiring coach energy is the scariest energy.
Yeah.
It is
anything that's
right up there with, like, dead mascot game.
Yeah. And You know, anything that can rally your guys like that, however dumb it may be, like, it does kind of worry me.
It's I would say it's above. I'd say it's coach retiring is just slightly above dead mascot game and slightly above, like, jersey retirement name.
Yeah.
Yeah, a game. But a little bit below, like, honoring a former teammate that, like, beat cancer type game.
Right, right, right. Yeah, but it's definitely on the power rankings of motivation. So I worry about all that, but...
Southern Miss, too, just... I mean, I'm nervous. I am. Good baseball team.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's been
kind
of lost in all the talk about how bad Hattiesburg is and coach retirement is like they actually are a good program.
There's been, in my opinion, way too much disrespect floating on the Twitter streets this weekend, and it's making me much more nervous than I would be otherwise.
Bulletin board material.
Because it feels like we have not done ourselves a lot of favor karmically with the talk that we've had this week.
I agree.
I mean, you just nonstop blabbering from our fan base about Hattiesburg versus Knoxville. At least it hasn't really been a lot of conversation about the actual teams itself. It's been interesting. It's just a bunch of people pointing out bad things about Hattiesburg and then people from Hattiesburg just pointing out bad things about Knoxville.
Exactly.
Like, hey guys, let's...
Yeah, it's kind of been lost in...
Let's just look at each other real quick and be like, oh, hey, both cities have good and bad things. That's how most cities work.
Right. The argument online is almost like between two cities who put in a bid for like a World Cup game in 2024. Like, it's just a lot of conversations about who has the nicest hotels and the most restaurants.
Like,
I
saw a tweet this morning that was like actual pity picture from Hattiesburg, and it was just like three trailers that were kind of dirty in a trailer park. It was like, it had a bunch of retweets and a bunch of likes. I was like, have you never been to Knoxville?
Right. Yeah, it's a layup tweet.
Or any other city. Like, most cities have areas that they're like trailer parks. And guess what? That's not indicative necessarily of, like, this is a bad city.
Yeah.
There are plenty of nice trailers out there, nice trailer parks, wonderful people living in trailers. I mean, it's it's not like that's some major insult either, but I mean, I'm sitting right here in Knoxville, and I bet I can drive less than 5 minutes and find a trailer park. You know, oh, great insult, guys. We're going to win a baseball game because Hattiesburg, you know, closed down an Applebee's.
Yeah. I'm looking up the total population. I just want to see, like, how it stacks up. Not that that's, like, a huge indication either, but I'm willing to bet it's – well, I don't know. Well, I mean, they're both college towns, right?
Hard Either way, to say. This Southern Miss team, again, very good. You have a pitcher in Tanner Hall that can single-handedly win a baseball game, which is, that's what you're looking to avoid when you're playing in these super regionals, when it's a best two out of three. You know, Kentucky, they're in a bad spot with it, too. I mean, they have to see, like, Paul Skeens on you know, game one, the first night of that super regional. That's not great for them. Having to see Tanner Hall, it's not Paul Skeens, but it's not favorable either. You know, we just saw this team get shut down by Caden Grice for 8 2/3 innings, essentially. And you know, they battled and found a way to win, which makes me think, hey, you can still battle and find a way to win against Southern Miss, too, even if Tanner Hall deals. We just saw Samford do that in Tanner Hall's regional start. He went 9 innings, and Southern Miss still lost. But they have some pitching behind them. They have a reliever that can come in and pitch multiple days, pitch multiple innings. They have a lineup 1-9 that is old. Old lineup that has experience. They were in a super regional in Hattiesburg a year ago. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think every person in the batting order 1-9 for Southern Miss is at least 22 years old.
Wow.
They have a guy that... I mean, they have some draft prospects in this lineup. They have a guy that hit a ball out at 121 miles an hour earlier this year.
Good stat.
I mean, he's been clocked at an exit velo of 121, 20 home runs on the year. Slade Wilkes, one of their outfielders, hitting 291, 58 RBI. It's not going to be easy. And you add in the fact, again, that you have to go to Hattiesburg, which has been talked about extensively this week. But we haven't really, I think, fully acknowledged how difficult it is to go play in Pete Taylor Park. And last year for Ole Miss, they He probably broke a few rules and squeezed about one too many hundred people in that ballpark. I mean, it is going to be full. It is going to be loud. It's probably, you know, I don't want to overspeak here, but Virginia, TCU, Florida, Oregon, LSU, Wake Forest, Stanford, Southern Miss will be far and away the loudest, most energetic, liveliest, craziest super regional that takes place this weekend.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to get up like those fans in Hattiesburg. And again, they've dealt with a week of what I would consider pretty unfair disrespect. So it's going to be a tough environment and a motivated, old, experienced team with an ace to throw game one and a legendary, incredibly talented coach in Scott Barry that's trying to end his career by getting to Omaha. This is an incredibly, incredibly tough spot for Tennessee to be in. And we'll talk more about it in hour two. But I know we have Roberto on the line, correct? Roberto, sorry, we just couldn't squeeze you in at the end of the hour here. We'll come back, start hour two with a trip on the over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. But hour one done, hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.